settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing the intention of self. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And that's in the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. Now, the international call made a bit of a boo-boo last week. The international call isn't free just yet, but it will be at some point in the near future, hopefully. But actually, when I phone from England, for instance, I seem to be on the phone for absolutely ages, and it really doesn't seem to amount to much. And, you know, hey, if you're having a night in and you're not going out spending money on, a meal or the pictures or alcohol or whatever it is you do for your entertainment, it's not going to break the bank, and it's quite a cheap evening in, really. So the international call is 001-530-876-3222. Okay.
Well, as well as Spirit's Work here on the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or order an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As regular listeners will know, every week I channel live on the show an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. We don't spend a long time on small talk or chit-chat, especially not my part anyway, and that's really so that the most of the show can be taken over by spirit and the matters of that. And so we try to utilize the most amount of time that we can for the spirit world to have their say. And really, that's all that matters as far as we're concerned, because that's what we're here for. So I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie and go into trance, which is like going to sleep, really. Well, in fact, for me, it is going to sleep, but really quickly, like someone hit me on the head or something. and that's basically what I'm going to do. So all the rest of you out there, do have a great show, and I hope it's going to be interactive, as always. Thank you very much, Jim.
Okay, thanks, Mick. I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory, who you're going to be listening to. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they are made up of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people like you or I. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move more towards a harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this is not just Mick passing the information to us. He won't be aware of what is happening, and it will be a completely different person who will be speaking on the show. In this case, spirit guide Gregory Hay. And as Mick said, if you'd like to find out more about us from our website, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. Excuse me. If you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, don't forget the numbers in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, Canada 888-810-8322, and international 001-530-876-3222. And also, if you have a show idea that you'd like us to cover, a topic that you think that might be interesting for other people, do drop us a line, and it's enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay. Hi, Gregory.
With peace and love, as always, dear friend.
Thank you. Okay, well, tonight in England, this afternoon in America, we're going to be talking about the intention of self. Now, really, it's a continuation of last week's program, isn't it?
Yes.
Would you like to... I don't know where you would like to start exactly.
We do like to have continuity, friends.
Yes.
If at all possible. Yes, well, the intention of self really is to do with what you focus your ambition, your emotion, your energy, and your drive toward. What is the focus of your being? Why would you want to continue to have a physical life if you did not have a focus of intention of your own self-worth, your self-pride, your self-intellect? The discovery for self of knowledge, to gain wisdom. That is the driving force which rumbles on underneath your very personal being. Even though yourself, you may be a lazy being. You may not want to get up in the morning, and many people, I understand, don't. They perhaps do not see that a job of work or whatever other intention it is that society perhaps demands of you as a being, because obviously you have to bring about material wealth and need, you have to fill the stomach, primarily. You have to have a roof over your head if you can. So part of your existence in physical life that we recognize from our side of life is really to do with what is your intentional seeking. If it is, surely, to be, to bring about the aura and the growth of self from a thing of being misunderstood or misunderstanding the situation you may be in, from being illiterate into being literally observant and aware of the surroundings in which you live. You may have children who play, and whilst you are watching them, you may perceive yourself that these children hold certain secrets of their own aura of life. Perhaps it helps you to reflect upon your own inner memory of what it was that you perceived and understood when you too were a child. Within a child's self-motivation and understanding, they are primarily inquisitive, looking at this newfound world, quite different from the previous world in which they existed as complete spirit beings. Yes, having a perfect existence in the spirit world, and yet still wanting to create something outside of that spirit world in which we have all been a part of, that we have been a part of for all of eternity, creating understanding, bringing about wisdom, focusing through our lives continuously and rapturously, so that we may bond with other beings, we may dwell in the harmony fields that exist within the spirit world. And then when we are brought into physical life, the sharp reality of the situation hits us like a kick in the back of the neck. I am here. What do I do? What do I ask of myself? How do I seek fulfillment? How do I fill this yearning hole within me? I feel as though at times I am empty or bereft. And I know I felt this when I was in physical life myself. I remember times when I was bewildered by life. When I looked and observed situations of difficulty that my fellows, also poor peasants, were going through such hardships, and yet still remaining devout in their beliefs and in their way, struggling through using that belief system perhaps to try to push through those barriers that physical life throws at you and threw at us at that time. We can assimilate and understand fully exactly what it is that human beings in physical form move through within the development process of each individual being and within the full cycle of evidence that each and every one of us moves through during the life cycle and takes back with them to the spirit world to be gloried at by all present, to be wondered, how did you make it through that difficulty or that surprise or that sublime beauty? What effect did it actually bring to you that created such a wonderment and joy within your heart? My friends, we can see quite clearly that for beings who perhaps have lost an intention of self, who do not equate with what I do now physically, how I am motivated, will actually determine how I shall respond, how shall I be and behave. For in truth, much of the behavior of human beings tends to come from irrational thought or immediate behavior with no thought attached to it, a reciprocal action or something like that, perhaps done in anger, shouted or sworn through distress, just because one human being cannot get their own way, cannot see their light ahead, doesn't mean to say that they have to dwell in disaster, doesn't mean to say they have to be repressed by it. What you need to do is to understand, for those beings in that state, that you can move beyond it, just take a breath, a step back, just do that, and not respond to the hatred within you or the turmoil within you. The feelings that spring up from sudden situations which arrive in front of you may be better served if you do not have the intention of self to bring disaster or to try to force your will upon someone else. That isn't focus. Focus and your true intention should be sought and brought about into your mind and the coloration of your life simply by allowing your intention of self to become more beautified by the things that you do, by more effort that you place into thought for other people, by the conscious effort that you make to leave as least a footprint behind in your walk of life as you can, so that other people may acknowledge that you have been there purely by your energy and not by the destruction that you leave in your wake. Criminals are often remembered, the foulest murderers hailed perhaps throughout history. This person killed so many people or brought terror amongst their community for these foul acts that they created. So for some of them, for sure, it will be that they will continue to create them upon themselves in the spirit world. Because for some, it may be that they still haven't grasped the intention of self and what it really means, and so continue to hurt themselves and their own pride and lack of value. So this intention of self, my dears, is purely and simply about what is it? What is it truly that you want to seek from this life you lead now, from these breaths in and out, from the heart continuing to keep your physical body cohesive and active? Or perhaps even if you are a being who is left in a paralytic condition, what is the intention of self then? What, my friends, if you are lying upon a bed of sickness, unable to move, except perhaps blink your eyes? What is your true intention of self to become of this? If you can blink your eyes, you may be able to acquire thought, because thought is at the basis of being able to blink your eyes. I understand it can be a motorological situation, one of motability, that blinking of the eyes is just a transcendent automatic response. However, for some people on beds of sickness who are paralyzed and who just all they can do is to blink their eyes, what else do they have if they have no speech, perhaps poor hearing? What else do they have? Well, I will tell you what they have. Is perhaps, maybe they can reflect upon those life pictures and scenarios they have brought about in that life. Maybe it can be that this is not a mournful reflection, but something which can focus those people, those beings, into understanding, using that time to understand something of self, of what that has meant, what those relationships have meant, and what they can continue to mean right now. So even in the most dire consequences, my friend, you can bring about an intention of self to use this to find exactly who it is you are. And perhaps you may become a little wiser for that reflective knowledge to give you greater understanding of the pathway as you move along it, as you create upon your way home.
Okay, but I think when we're children, we crave, when we're grown up, we crave the innocence that we had when we were children.
Of course. And when you were children, you crave to be grown up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And at some point along the way, we have to have some focus of intention that is more motivated towards us getting along in the material world. Suddenly, we have to actually fend for ourselves.
You have to be grown up.
Grown up, exactly.
Yes.
And all of that time in that growing up, it's not necessarily that the friends, the family, or even your friends are that healthy in your outlook and attitude to how you are going to grow up.
Indeed. Quite so. Because, of course, it will depend upon the relationship factor that you have with them. Siblings do not always get on. Just because you're in the family brood doesn't mean to say that all harmony exists there.
Absolutely.
You may fight like cat and dog.
Yes. So, and therefore it carries on as well, doesn't it? I think what I'm trying to say is it's difficult enough to find this focus of intention and this drive when you have people around you that drain you, quite basically.
Oh, yes, absolutely so.
Of your positivity. So not only is life sometimes cruel, you have to be discerning. With friends, family, it's not so easy, but you can at least do that with how many times you see people. But with friends, you have to be discerning on who you are spending time with, any length of time with. If it's making you feel bad when you've been with these people, how selfish can we be in that respect?
Yes, selfish on the one hand, perhaps you may see in hindsight, but also some people, of course, will do that, will put themselves in that position because they think that they are being generous or giving or something. Perhaps because they feel that the people that they are associating with need their help, for example, and are trying to be beneficial to that group. So what then do you do if you have a person who is motivated purely by negative thoughts or ill will, or perhaps, as you say, drains you of your life system, your ambition,
mm-hmm.
perhaps always puts you down, I believe is the phrase, for everything that you suggest or say, or rubbishes it in some way, saying that you are not good enough to achieve that? Why would you want to place yourself in that environment of someone else who is leveling you at that stage, at that state of your development, if they are constantly really trying to bring you to their level of negativity? And that is the point, really. Their intention is not of self to be motivational and to perhaps agree, even if they do not necessarily feel that the choice that you have made is exact or perfect for you. Well, surely then they may say that and voice it. But they needn't be that negative about it, even though you may feel that it is that person's wrong decision. The problem is that many people bring about in this situation that if they are being negative to someone who is trying to be positive toward them, then what they would do is bring about all of the reasons why they shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And by echoing all of these reasons why they shouldn't do it, rather than trying to find positive ones of how they could achieve it, how they could overcome these hurdles, what they are actually doing is trying to belittle the attempt, because they don't really want to have the success. It is quite strange to us in the spirit world why it should be that human beings do not want or desire a successful outcome to their lives, and so will dwell within this negative field and perhaps be oppressed by it continuously and try to oppress other people at the same time with the same energy. And really, this is the point, my friend, that negative people who feel in the negative vein have the intention of self to remain so.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to remember about these people is that they can only perpetrate their negativity, perplexing as though it may be, or many who try to struggle with it. They will only continue it because they have more negativity to feed from. So part of what they are doing, perhaps when you as a being of light come towards someone else who is extremely negative, shall we say, and what you are trying to do is give them upliftment and joy and perhaps give them even healing to start with, to begin with, to try to wrest the negativity from them so that they can actually feel a little more rejuvenated and break the cycle of negativity they have been on. Part of the work of sincere healing really is about this. It isn't necessarily to make a person wholly well, but to just relieve or break the cycle of negativity they may be in, to give some respite, to enable those people to actually move beyond the state of acquisition of negative addiction that they face.
Yes. Sorry, you carry on. Go on.
Oh, very well. So, the point I'm making then is that what happens when you break this cycle is that they are still searching then for this renewal of the drug of negativity, because that is what they are focusing on. That is part of the problem of people in a negative state, because their intention of self is upon this addictive path of negativity and cannot seem to break away from it, despite the influx of different people's attitudes toward them in trying to bolster their activity or perhaps give them something positive to look upon.
Well, when you're feeling like that, you don't actually look at things. You look at things totally different. When you're looking at things in a positive light, you can see potential and growth and a future.
Yes.
When you're looking at things in with a negative outlook, it's just all doom and gloom and failure and what is the point?
Yes.
But it's actually catching yourself behaving like that. And I think we all get like that. We all get days like that or moments like that. And it's catching yourself, isn't it? And then we'll talk about in a little while what we can do about this.
Yes.
But I think we have to discern also where it comes from, because it's not always blatantly obvious that we've been around somebody that is negative towards us specifically. It can be just being around certain people can make you pick up their anger. It might not be at you.
Yes.
But you pick up their anger or whatever these negative emotions that come from them. And we have to really, if we want to focus on our intention and really do something for ourselves, we do have to draw a line somewhere, don't we?
Oh, absolutely so. You have to protect oneself in the presence, yes. And particularly I would say that, of course, if you are going to intentionally put yourself in that position, that is, that you know you are going to meet someone who is negative, who has got this problem of themselves, then, of course, you would place yourself in a protective environment. And that would mean a prayer of protection or something like that, or perhaps using your image retention and your own mind manipulation, your consciousness state, in order to bring about a field of protection around you.
So you use your mind to create a situation around you.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And this does not mean to say that you are doing something which is necessarily connecting with the spirit world. I want to emphasize this because it is quite plausible, of course, that there are many, many, many people in the world, in your world today, who do not believe of anything, do not have an understanding or a depth of knowledge of anything to do with the spirit world, perhaps feel that their life is just one rotation after another, and that eventually they will just be like a lamb chop on a counter.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And there are many people who are like that. And so, and I understand that, because perhaps many people have been driven away by the seat of elitism within religion and the standard of double jeopardy, if you like,
mm-hmm.
that people within a religious enclave, whatever it is, they tend to justify their own life mortality by the things that they do through that field of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And damn everybody else.
Absolutely.
For not being in it. My point that I was going to raise, of course, was that if you observe children, and where this can come from is perhaps a certain form of behavior that seems to appear from nowhere. Perhaps it is that the child has become upset about something, and even though it began as a small thing, that then became a preoccupied situation. It took up more and more of the life as the life went on, and the child perhaps reacted to certain other events in that life. So the beginning event in this form of behavior could be very small. It could be just as simple as one child not being able to retain the toy that they have
mm-hmm.
if there is another child in the room. Yes?
Yes.
It can be as simple as this within siblings. So perhaps it is a sister who is petulant or something over an object that another sibling, a brother, had taken from them. Just a simple thing like that can actually then be a core of focus for that child if there is no elevation for that child or no recourse for it to have another situation which actually betters them, which makes them feel right about who they are. And so you can then have just one simple act of a toy and its distribution, its ownership, if you like. That's mine. No, it's mine. Yes?
Yes.
And simply by that move and motivation, you can actually have a child which is then affected for the rest of its life from one simple activity. If it isn't then identified by the parents
mm-hmm.
and perhaps then is redressed in some other way, perhaps to allow the child some other form of focus elsewhere, perhaps giving the girl child, shall we say, for the sake of argument in this little scenario, that instead of allowing that to fester, that perhaps the child is given something nice to do or is pleasured in some way by the parent, perhaps either through loving them or reading them a story or, you understand, something positive.
Yes, positive, but a distraction.
Yes, quite
so. A healthy distraction.
Yes.
But not so that they think that you're doing it.
No, quite
so. Because they've been naughty.
Yes, quite so. And the point, of course, to deal with this situation is as soon as you can.
Mm.
Don't just think that they're going to get on with it and that they will have to survive it, because what can then happen is you build up, you leave it to allow resentments to become a part of the normality of that child's life.
Mm-hmm.
And that then is the trigger mechanism for this addictive personality of negativity.
Very interesting. And if anybody would like to phone us up, the number is toll-free. It's US 877-876-5227, Canada 888-810-8322, and international callers 001-530-876-3222. And keep it on subject. That would be great. And actually, if maybe our listeners, when we've talked in a little while, we're going to talk about things that we can do that are positive,
yes,
aren't we? That we
absolutely
can help ourselves in staying motivated and focused on our intention. And maybe some listeners have their own ways that they have to keep themselves buoyant.
Yes.
And they might want to phone in and share those with us, or whatever you'd like to talk about. Okay.
Yes.
So what do you think of positive affirmations, self-affirmation statements?
Well, absolutely. I think very highly of them, of course. Positive harmonic propulsion, we call it. But, of course, that is primarily the energy that you wake up with in the morning and what you're going to do with that energy. And the thoughts and feelings behind the motivation of the day. How you open your eyelids, what thoughts are controlled when you first wake up, when you first become conscious, what is it that you're actually thinking of? But of course, there are many other affirmations that you may make during the day. For example, especially if you are perhaps someone who is feeling in a negative spiral in some way, then surely it would be something of the personal value of self. And that is part of your greatest intention of self. What is it that you look at in the morning? When you open your eyes and you look in the mirror, what is it that you see? Do you love yourself honestly, truly? Do you love what Creator has given you, or do you feel that you have not been blessed? Perhaps you have not been blessed with a beautiful, pretty face. I'm sure all people would like to be, but in fact, the majority of people do not have that quality. Not outwardly, on the surface, because the human condition is not necessarily enhanced in that way. That doesn't mean to say that the person themselves is not beautiful. Just because you are taught, perhaps, to adore certain looks, certain color eyes or shaped eyes, certain ways that you would describe your lips or your chin. Perhaps you've got more than one chin. Perhaps it is that your nose is fat, squat. Perhaps it points like a beak. Perhaps you have eyebrows that meet in the middle or no hair upon your head. You may have the ugliest ears in your village. And it matters not, my friend. You could have ears like jug handles, or a nose that would put a parrot to shame. But it really matters not, because what you are looking at are those balances and definitive situations that have been placed upon you by others, of course, because they are that adorned shape. Because they are this presented shape, and therefore leave other people perhaps feeling as though they are worth less. But the intention of self, if you lack the focus of it, means you are missing the point. You are missing the object of what you are seeing in the mirror. What is it within your eyes? Surely, my friend, you can see within your eyes that if they are dull, if you are suffering from negativity and illness, from that negativity, then your eyes will not have that spark of light. The movement around your eyes, just in the shape of how the skin has formed, will tell you whether you are really having a happy life or not. So even if you are as ugly as a log or a piece of rock, it doesn't matter, because if you look into your eyes and you see and know the beauty within your heart from what you see, it will come out in your eyes. It will illuminate your pathway through the expression of what you see and how you behave So therefore, you do not have to be the most beautiful person outwardly on the skin and surface of it all. People define much of their lives by looks, by aggression, by the way in which they are presenting themselves to the outside world. But if you have looks which are not beneficial to you, how do you actually overcome the suppression of guilt and the feelings of worthlessness which can accommodate someone who is not pretty or not on the surface the identity of someone who is beautiful? Just because you do not have the same bone structure or the same skin tone, the same hair coloring perhaps, or the condition of your hair is perhaps like straw. Well, you can do something about those things. You can possibly do something about your skin. You can perhaps put oils on it or essences of this and that flower or plant in order to bring life to it, in order to help it. And you can also deal with the thoughts within you. That is part of your self-intention, to gravitate something of positivity and worth.
So this is why the self-affirmations are good.
Yes.
Because then you tell yourself that you are a beautiful person, that you know, I love myself for who I am. I am strong, I am competent, I am courageous, I am talented. And the more you say these things about yourself and really try to mean it, it really does. I think I'm a great fan of positive affirmations. I really am.
Yes. My point as well, my friend, is that, of course, if you are a person who is struggling with this, then if you actually focus upon not what you have been, even if you have been negative up to this moment now as I'm speaking, you are feeling negative. Well, the point is, what you have to say to yourself is, from this point forward, I am not going to succumb anymore to this negativity. I'm not going to let it beat me. And what I have to do is, that negativity that was me, the last moment, the one moment that's just passed, is in the past. It isn't in my present now. My present now will be gloried by who I am and what I am from now forwards. This is part of the problem, of course, with many people who have done wrong things in society. They are not allowed to ever forget it, perhaps. Most certainly because for some of them, they have done very bad things. And I can understand this lack of forgiveness. However, it does not bring anything to the mind of that being in how they can reciprocate, in how they can overcome the disease of what they expressed then and the anger that they expressed then, the negativity field that they were drenched in, perhaps drowning in at that time. That is something that was then. If you allow yourself to dwell in that past moment, you will always be there. If you move forward with a different notion and say, snap out of it, I want to be something else, I want to do something else with who I am, then you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what about protection that we were talking about?
Yes.
Because you can't really have one without the other, to a certain extent, because it's an ongoing maintenance thing, really, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. Particularly, of course, for some people who may be more susceptible to negative implosions or situations from others affecting them.
Mm.
Perhaps even if they are not necessarily even having a conversation with them. It could be just that you are walking in a room and happen to come across someone or be near someone who is extremely negative. Some people are that sensitive that they actually respond to situations of that color nature.
Yes. Okay. So what about protecting yourself from thoughts coming from other people? Because I know you can even pick up this from a phone call, can't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Yes, of course, you can pick up a thought from someone else who perhaps is intolerant, or perhaps they are actually not abusive to you in the phone call, but that they themselves are feeling oppressively negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something which you actually pick up upon through your emotion and your own intention, because obviously, really, you would perhaps prefer to hear someone who is not going through a bad time. But nevertheless, you have to perhaps give them the space to speak their mind,
mm-hmm.
to speak their view, what is happening in their life, and listen intently for it. So that then is something which is heaped upon you, sitting there on your solar plexus like a large lead weight.
And that's where it comes, and that's where it comes into your body, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The solar plexus.
Yes, that is what it sits on. And that is why, my friend, that, for example, then, if you are on a telephone and you are in that situation, you really need just to have, perhaps in the first instance, you can put your hand over your solar plexus and protect it with the palm of your hand. And this actually works. Just a physical palm of your hand, of your own hand upon your solar plexus, will actually help to limit the damage of what you are picking up.
And for particularly bad phone calls?
Yes, intensive phone calls.
You can use a mirror.
You can use a small hand mirror. And either point the mirror reflective surface inwardly or outwardly. It matters neither. So for some people, they have to use this as an actual physical mechanism. As I say, in order to protect themselves from immediate situations such as that. Now, what if you are in a room with people in it? Perhaps you are visiting some friends or something like that. Or maybe you are in a public environment. Then simply by covering your solar plexus with the palm of your hand can help a great deal to minimize the effect. And also what you would have to do would be to actually use your mental ability to remove your consciousness from observing the conversation or the situation that you are in, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and thinking outside of it.
Mm.
Perhaps thinking of a simple way that you can extricate yourself from that environment. You do not have to be there. After all, so long as you have legs, so long as you have the ability to move, even if you don't have legs, you could be in a wheelchair or whatever. You can move from that environment and just move away from it.
Mm-hmm. And you can, at the same time, you could maybe put a bubble of protection around you.
Yes, of course.
In some form as well.
Yes, you can do that too. You can bring about a self-protection bubble. This, of course, is handy if you have already been able to perhaps practice at doing this at home. It is something actually that we do suggest to people that in perhaps some forms, some sittings of your meditation or something like that, that you actually practice to mentally place a bubble around you. This could be a bubble that is shaped, has a reflective surface like a mirror, perhaps, and either mirrors your own image or is something which is rather a reflective image on the outside of you. And perhaps this is something that you simply construct with your mind, with your consciousness, perhaps using your inner viewing capability, if you have one. If you don't, then that is something perhaps that you need to meditate for, to bring about that ability for yourself, to have that consciousness adaptation, so that instead of you just thinking of thoughts and having illuminations of things which are appearing to you physically, but knowing that they are just within your consciousness, within your mind, you are actually able to use that field of vision, that illumination, if you'd like, that you conjure up for yourself and use it to protect your physical being from these negative attractions and these negative energies from other people.
Yes, and in doing it in that way, actually, as a meditation practice, it means that you can call it up much more quickly when you need it.
Yes.
Because it actually is constructed, isn't it? In the physical world, in the etheric world, that bubble, the mirror bubble, for instance, is actually a construction, isn't it?
Yes, that is true.
And then you can call it up.
Yes, of course. It may not be as complete as, for example, the mirrored construction that we relate to in attachment healing and that kind of thing.
No, that's a lot more intense.
And that
it?
Is much more intense, of course, because you actually have to cover every single square inch of your physical body in the reflective memory of your consciousness.
And
that is something which is a lot more difficult.
Yes, and we can talk about that in more detail another time.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So this really then is to do about the protection of yourself, to perhaps conceal yourself so that you are more careful about what your intention of yourself is, who you let in, what you let in, what energies you let in. It is just a situation, really, of being able to protect yourself from outside interference. A little, I suppose, as though there you are when you are driving along in your motor vehicle or whatever. You are as though this isolated person in this bubble, this space, in the physical void. And that you have all of your entertainment, your own little environment that you travel around in. In just the same way, my friend, you can bring about this bubble of this expression of energy and use it and utilize it to keep out these oppressive negative thoughts from other people. As you say, either from a telephone call or situations during a conversation, perhaps, that you find the conversation that you are a part of becomes overbearing upon you, or perhaps it is not necessarily a conversation involved in you, that you are just within a situation that you witness. It could be, after all, that you witness some violent situation or something like that. That doesn't mean to say that you do not witness it, and that perhaps you should, for purposes of recollection, if the need arises afterwards. And of course, if you are able physically, you would intervene in that violence.
Okay, well, we've got another couple of minutes left.
Yes.
I know you've said before about not wearing your heart on your sleeve all of the time as a protection for yourself.
Yes.
Could you explain how that, how much should we let people in to our lives?
Well, that is a matter for your own understanding, is it not? After all, I am well aware that some people perhaps are far too sensitive and yet are most certainly ready to be able to want to befriend everyone they meet, and they do not actually discern one good one from a bad one. And therefore, they obviously are going to come out into a great deal of trouble, of negativity in the eventual outcome. It will be obvious, surely, but some people throughout their life have not had the grounding, perhaps, to recognize certain character flaws which may be within certain people and not even see it coming, do not actually identify it. So for them, it is really about a situation of acquiring these lessons very quickly and taking note of them. The other problem, as we see it from our point of view, is that many people perhaps do not take upon themselves the lessons they have already learned from certain people. Perhaps they are struggling to acquire those lessons in the fullness state of how they should acquire them. Perhaps it doesn't really mean that much to them that they were hurt the last time, and so regurgitate the same relationship with someone else. The point is that human beings either have very memories, or conveniently so, perhaps because for some people they want to give that person another chance, or they want to give that person type another chance. Oh, I can recognize this, says the inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't really go this route. But you still do. And you still do. It is just the same as a child putting their fingers in a fire. I wonder if this will burn me. Well, probably the same as it did last time. But the point is that people are repetitious in that way. Because some are very slow to pick up. Very slow to learn. And that means moving again and again over the same steps until you do learn, until you do realize what life can really be and what it can really give to you as a human being, as a spirit having a human existence.
And you can create your own future. You have the tools on you to do that. So
every single being does have the ability, really and truly, even those in absolute poverty, if you are my friends, in that state, if it is poverty of mind, move forward, do something to create understanding. If it is poverty of physical state, move from where you are, migrate to where you can be, in search of a new existence for a new you.
Change something, open another door and see where you go.
Open something. Open anything that you can, yes. If you are locked in a prison and you are going to be there for life, what do you have to look forward to? Your mind is what you have. Your consciousness is what you have. You can create forgiveness. You can understand the wrong path you took. Don't deny it. Understand it. And move forward with that understanding to try to help someone else in theirs.
Okay, right, well, that's wonderful, Gregory. Thank you so much.
With love and light and peace be all upon you, their being.
Thank you.
With love.
God bless. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website. It's spirit-teaching.com. And we have some new services on there. We are doing not only our Akashic readings, we are doing geophysical stress ley line diagnosis. We are doing spirit and ghost and residual energy diagnosis. And we are also doing, if you've got a pet and you've had problems with your pet, you've been to the vet and you're still having problems, then we are doing animal healing diagnosis as well. So have a look on our website. It's spirit-teaching.com, and as well as Spirit's work on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening to the wonderful BBS Radio and Spirit's work. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.